The Supreme Court ushered in abortion on demand through the Roe v. Wade decision in 1973. This took the matter of abortion out of the hands of the states and federalized abortion on demand. Now, in 2022, the court may possibly overturn Roe in the case of Dobbs v. Jackson. But last week, somebody within the Supreme Court released a draft copy of this decision. That was an unprecedented move, possibly illegal. That draft showed the court overturning Roe and putting the issue back in the hands of the people through their elected state representatives. Why the leak? Presumably to abort the abortion decision, to unleash a furor that would cause them to not go through with this ruling. At least that's the prevailing theory. We're going to talk about this right now with Eric Scheidler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Eric, it is great to have you back on the program. Thanks again for joining us.
You know, it's great to be with you, especially at a time like this when it seems like we are about to enter an entirely new landscape for the pro-life movement, new opportunities we have not had for nearly 50 years to save the lives of unborn children through the laws of our 50 states. So it's an extremely exciting moment. So it's really great to be with you.
Wow. Okay. First of all, let's talk about the leak. It was my understanding initially that it was illegal. Now some friends have told me, well, it's possibly illegal. It certainly was unprecedented. Your comment?
Well, I think it's been really largely overlooked by the mainstream media how significant it is for there to be a leak like this. This is really unprecedented. And, you know, some voices on the left have tried to claim that conservatives and pro-lifers and Republicans are talking about the leak so much because they don't want to talk about the actual ruling that was in the leak. We need to talk about both because it's an incredible breach of Supreme Court protocol, but also of the integrity of our judicial system.
Yeah.
It's especially unconscionable that President Biden has had nothing to say about this. He's the head of the executive branch of government. He's sworn to defend our Constitution with its three branches of government, our separation of powers. For someone to be meddling with another branch of government like this, the judicial branch, is just outrageous. And the head of the executive branch, as well as Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the heads of the House and the Senate, should all be condemning this type of breach of the integrity of our very government and our way of life. They're silent on this, which shows you how far they've gone to accepting any means whatsoever to get what they want, to overturn, even to meddle with the overturning of a Supreme Court ruling like this.
Yeah.
It just shows you their extremism and how we've really entered a new territory now where we are barely able to hold on to our system itself. That's how precious abortion is to the Democrats and the pro-abortion forces in our government.
Now, they say that there's about 90 employees, maybe 88 or something like that, that would have had access to this document. So those are the nine Supreme Court justices. And then there's also, of course, the clerks. So one of those persons did it. And then I've heard that, when they find that person out, they might end up getting disbarred and getting a book deal and a gig on MSNBC.
You know, we'll see. Well, I think we will find out who it is, and I hope we find out soon. It's going to be disturbing to those of us on the pro-life side to see how the media handles that. I don't imagine they're going to, honestly portray to the American people how outrageous this was. I'm afraid this person will be greeted as a hero. Many of the blue checks on Twitter or the media types have been celebrating this person and calling him a hero. We'll have to see who it is and what their motivation was. But, at the end of the day, I don't think whatever cynical goals they were trying to achieve here, they will ever be able to achieve, because I think they've only made it less likely that one of those five justices would change a vote, and maybe even more likely that Justice Roberts would join in with that majority just to shore the thing up. Hmm. So I'm hoping that this, whatever they were after, creating chaos or trying to change the ruling or whatever, will ultimately end up failing, and that not only will this be the ruling we get, overturning Roe, but the American people will embrace it, and that whatever furor there is over it will really have died down well before the election and have very little impact on it.
Chief Justice John Roberts was reported as saying, and I have to admit I saw more of the headlines than I read the details, but it said that he was trying to see if he could get Kavanaugh and Barrett to maybe modify the vote, you know, kind of do this thing incrementally. In other words, not go along with what Alito had written in the document that was leaked recently.
You know, I think that there's very little chance of that because Amy Coney Barrett.
Sorry,
you know,
very
she's
little
already...
chance of what? Oh, of those two changing.
Changing. I don't think Barrett or Kavanaugh. I mean, we have a sense that maybe Kavanaugh would love to go back to being a regular, you know.
Have a regular life.
Yeah, a regular Washington, D.C. insider kind of life, invited to the cocktail parties and all of that. But I don't think there's anything that he could do to restore his reputation amongst the left, who hates him and considers him to be some kind of a horrible alcoholic racist or whatever.
Because of their lies and smearing of him.
And Amy Coney Barrett, she's an unusual figure. I mean, she's part of a very deep religious community. She's adopted kids. I just don't see Amy Coney Barrett backing away because we'll all know that they changed their votes. You know, if a ruling came down and Kavanaugh and Barrett were in some sort of compromised position with Roberts, we'd be puzzled about it and wish it hadn't happened that way. It'd still be a huge pro-life victory. But I don't think either of those wants us to know that they changed a vote, which is what we would know if that happened now. So, you know, that may have been what they were shooting for, but I don't think that that's going to succeed.
All right. Now let's talk about another tactic on the left. Writing for LifeNews.com last week, Stephen Ertelt notes, a group named Ruth Sent Us, presumably as in Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the pro-abortion justice who died about a year or two ago, is now calling for disruption and violence in Catholic churches, as well as protests outside the private homes of Supreme Court justices and their families. Of course, only the conservative ones. These radicals even published the justices' home addresses, end quote. Well, so much for the right of privacy. Your comments?
You know, this is, again, one of those moves that I think ultimately will end up backfiring. You know, the American people are divided on abortion. They're not sure where they stand. Most people kind of don't want to tell anyone what to do about abortion, but they aren't in favor of the extreme abortion, status quo that was set up under Roe versus Wade and that the Democrats are trying to codify into national law now that Roe is being threatened. When we see this type of behavior, when we see churches being vandalized, and there was a pro-life group in Madison, Wisconsin that had a Molotov cocktail thrown at their building, was set on fire over the weekend, and a few disruptions at churches, protests outside Supreme Court justices' homes, that only undermines their public relations. You know, it only makes them look like the extremists that they are. And I think will make it easier for the American people to scratch their heads and go, oh, maybe Roe v. Wade's not such a great idea after all. Because, you know, people generally say they support Roe, but they don't mean it. They don't know what it is. About a third of people don't even know it's about abortion. And so the support for Roe is very thin. And these types of outrageous behaviors really only weaken the public support for their position and help the pro-life cause if this is the ruling that we then have to present to the American people and then convince them to build upon for a pro-life future.
But there's something to me very un-American when you think about the rule of law and the importance of, and the stability of the U.S. Constitution, you know, in effect for almost 250 years when, you know, we even weathered a U.S. a civil war and, you know, yet in effect what they're trying to do is strong arm and, intimidate these justices to vote their way, the way they want. If the left doesn't get their way, you know, then they're throwing a hissy fit.
It's not just the left either, or the justices themselves. It's not just the justices the left is trying to intimidate. They want to intimidate all of us. And the way that they've been talking, I mean, there was even a reporter who was celebrating the arson of this pro-life office in Madison, Wisconsin, saying, more of this. We need more of this. I mean, I run an organization. I have an office. Should I be hiring security? Do I need to be on the lookout for somebody to try to burn down my building? It's the entire pro-life movement that they are attacking here. We should see it that way. And our response should be to get out into the streets to celebrate this victory when it finally comes down from the court and be out in massive numbers. I'm encouraging everybody listening to go to overturnroe.org and get plugged in, get signed up for the alert list when our email message goes out the day of the ruling saying, come on out and rally. We're looking for local leaders to organize rallies all around the country in celebration of this ruling. When it comes down, we are expecting this to be the final ruling overturning Roe, and to celebrate this and to build towards the future and to show the American people that this is going to make for a much better America, to take this toxic issue out of our federal politics and allow the people to have a say in how abortion will be handled in their own communities. A tremendous opportunity for us. We really need all hands on deck. So visit overturnroe.org to find out how to get involved.
Would you prefer me to post that as opposed to prolifeaction.org?
Yeah, let's go with the overturnroe.org site for now, because that's really where we want people to rally and gather. That's our hub for all the activity on this
act. All right. Now, the way the left makes it out, you would think that abortion, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, would be illegal all over the country. And that's not correct, is it? It would just throw it back to the states, which is what the Roe took it out of the hands of the states back in 1973.
That's right. For the vast majority of Americans, overturning of Roe v. Wade will have no effect whatsoever, because they live in populist blue states that are very pro-abortion. Some of our most populous states, New York, California, Illinois, are very pro-abortion and have enacted extremely liberal abortion regimes, where abortion is allowed all through pregnancy, where conscience rights are being violated, where pregnancy centers are actually under attack. And so, you know, the overturning of Roe won't affect most Americans until laws get to start being passed in some of those more red and purple states. There are some states that have trigger laws and that will ban abortion or limit abortion in some way right from the day that the ruling comes down. But most states, there's going to be a process of either moving the law in one direction or moving the law in another direction. But that's where it is incumbent upon us to be active. We cannot think of the overturning of Roe v. Wade as the final victory. It's the beginning of any victories at all. The victories that we've mounted so far in the pro-life movement have all been marginal. You know, we've been able to, you know, limit taxpayer funding, for example, and that saved millions of children's lives, but tens of millions of children's lives have been lost. We've only been able to chip away at the margins. The overturning of Roe allows us to finally start not only to enact laws that curb abortion, but also see how those laws play out and see what works. Are we able to drive abortion rates down and also drive up the rates of childbirth? Or are women going to be going to other states for abortions? Are we going to be setting up a safety net for women, both through private and through public ventures, that will make them feel safe and secure having a baby instead of resorting to the horrible violence of abortion and all the guilt and shame and sorrow that comes with that? So, critical moment. But we all have to understand what this really means. It means the beginning of being able to start to enact more serious restrictions on abortion than we've ever seen before.
We have about 1 minute left. You know, it's interesting, and this is kind of an intriguing thought, but have you ever noticed the correlation between states with the liberal, the left-leaning pro-abortion laws? They're the ones that everybody's trying to flee from and move away from, and they're trying to move to Florida and Texas, you know, and the states with the more strict abortion laws. Isn't that an interesting correlation?
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how the population is shifting and moving, and there's a lot of factors there. We've seen a lot of people talking about how this may affect the pro-life landscape in Texas, where lots of people are coming to places like Austin and more progressive people are moving in and working remotely. And it could actually end up changing the political landscape enough there that perhaps Texas won't be as strongly pro-life in the future. So there's it's kind of an upside and a downside to that type of population movement, because it's happening for a whole lot of different reasons. But there are many people who are leaving states like Illinois because they're outraged by pro-abortion policies, the very high taxes, the repressive regimes, the COVID lockdowns that caused so much sorrow and misery for people, especially for young people and the poor. So lots of changes happening right now. Our country is really in flux. And I think that really circles back to the urgent need for prayer right now, for us to have some clarity. What are the next steps for us to take? What is each individual person listening to this broadcast being called to do? Because I'm sure that we're all being called to take action right now in some way or another.
Eric Scheidler, again, the website we'll refer you to is overturnroe.org. And Roe, of course, is spelled R-O-E. Thank you, Eric. All the best.
God bless, Jerry. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.